Lord, we do thank you. You are so gracious, and Lord, we just love you. We praise you, and Lord, as we come together as a family, Lord, I pray that you would just shine that glorious word into our hearts and speak to us this day, Lord. Lord, we are in a tough section of Scripture. There is a lot of correction, but there's always light. Because you are so good and you love us. And even in correcting, Lord, there's grace, there's love. You correct us because you love us. So, Lord, maybe there's someone here today that feels like they're being chastened by the Lord. They're being corrected by the Lord. Maybe someone has drifted away and they feel that rod of correction upon them. Know that it's God's love. He desires that no one should perish. That it is because He wants the best for us, Lord. And we thank you that you care enough to bring us back. So, Lord, we ask you, would you speak to us through your word, through your Holy Spirit? Lord, we wouldn't leave this place the same way we came in, knowing that we heard from you. We just love you, Lord, and we just pray, may you be glorified through it all. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen? All right, church, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We left off on verse 17. If you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand and someone will get one to you. There are Bibles in the back and there's two sections in the front. And if you're new here, the translation we use is the New King James Version. Of course, you're free to use whatever translation you feel comfortable with, but if you follow along, that's where we're at. Give you a couple minutes to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Don't you love God's word? It just speaks to us. You know, anytime we want to hear from God, He's given us a love letter, actually 66 love letters. And we just open it up, and it's God's word. And it's amazing. It's transformative. It changes lives. Hey, there's no secret in growing in Christ, guys. There's not like this mystic thing. His word. That's it. You know, and boy, before even I get into the sermon, just the Lord just lay this on my heart. It's just like, once again, it's like as we've been going through this, and Paul uses the examples of the Old Testament. And I think God was so faithful, always give manna to the children of Israel from heaven, manna, you know, this angel food, and always provide it for his people. And in the same way, Jesus said, hey, listen, that when they were following him and he fed them miraculously, and they said, oh, give us manna from heaven like Moses did. He said, listen, that was not the true bread from heaven. I am the true bread, he said. It was me, it's me. And it's like, wow. Every morning, he gives us his word, and it's available to us, and we grow thereby. Amen? Okay, just a little excited this morning. God is so good. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's word? We're going to read verses 17 through 22. God's word says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you. Since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you that those who were approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat in and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Should I praise you in this? I do not praise you. You may be seated. Let me start off by saying, this is a loving church. And you guys know that. So often I have people that visit or that come or that they they've come and maybe taught a weekend for me or a Wednesday, and they come and they said, you know, there's something special. The people here, they're just so loving. They love one another, and it's such a healthy church. People here, the congregation, it's not a huge congregation as far as the body, but God is not into size. It doesn't matter about that. Lives are being transformed, and it's evident to those that come in. It's evident when you go out into the world that there's a change in your lives, that God is doing a transformative work in your lives. And I'm so glad for that. And listen, I pray for you guys all the time. I truly, truly do. My wife and I, you know, we all pray for you, and we just love you. And as I say that, we're going through the Corinthian church. So it's been some tough lessons. The Corinthians church has been divided from the very beginning. The first thing that Paul addresses says, hey, listen, I hear there's divisions there. There are those that are siding with their favorite pastors. Some were saying, I'm a Paul. Others, I'm a Apollos. Some other, I'm a Cephas. And he said, is Christ divided? Is there division among the body of Christ? Jesus, he's not divided. Why are you divided? We all follow Jesus. And he got that point across in chapter 1. He says, look, the teachers are not divided. The pastors are not. Why would you choose and start making cliques and causing those things? And then he addresses the same thing in chapter 3. You may recall, as we went through chapter 3, he says the same thing. You know, some are from Paul, some are from Apollos. And Paul says to them, Where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Once again, he says, when you do that, you're not walking in the Spirit. You look just like the world. There's no difference between the church and the world. And our Lord has called the church to be different. We are not the same. It's oil and water. There's a blessing upon God's people. And there's a calling. So he says, well, you guys are not acting like that. You're being carnal. Then we went through that there, so I won't rehash what that means, being carnal and so forth. So now, in this section, Paul's going to address division again. But it's not regarding their favorite pastors or teachers. It's more of a cliques and even a social class. And just this, they were doing this now in the congregation when they would come together for a love feast. Let me just set the scenario here. Let me give you, paint a picture for you. When we have a potluck here, we have it every so often. We gather together and we set up the tables, and it's such an awesome time. Everybody's always comes afterwards and say, oh man, it was so great. We loved it. We had fellowship. It was this. It was great. We did it at the park, and everybody was just loving it. And you see people praying with one another, encouraging one another, and it's like, man, it's so awesome. And Jesus is being glorified in that. Well, when the Corinthian church came together, that was not the case. There were little sects that would go here and there, and people were bring in their own food, but they would go over at the corner and just chow it down and whatever. They didn't care about anybody else. And then there were others that were getting drunk in church. They were getting drunk in church at these gatherings. And not only that, afterwards they would have communion. And they would say, oh, Lord, we do this because of you. Thank you so much. Remind such hypocrisy. So there was no reality. And that's what's going on in the Corinthians church. And you know, Paul hears about this and he says, how? We're going to read all he can say is what? I mean, for Paul to run out of words? Guys, I mean, you know, this guy is run on king, right? He runs out of words. All he can say is what? Really? So this is what's going on in the church. Instead of gathering together and having fellowship and Jesus being glorified, there was a tearing apart. There was a tearing down, and listen, it was just not representing Jesus. It was not representing the church. Well, let's take a look at the first few verses and see what's going on here in this agape feast, love feast. Verse 17 through 19, take a look at that with me. It says, now in giving this instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. When you guys, when we have potlucks, who loves potlucks? Seriously? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Calorie Chapel. I mean, this is it. You know, we come together, we break bread. It's an incredible fellowship. The body of Christ, there's such unity, such love. I love it. We minister to one another, as I said earlier. And, you know, some have the gift of they can worship. They have this incredible musical talent. And I don't. I'm not one of those. I got to read the words, and even then I mess them up. But it's so awesome. We come together to build one another up. They weren't building one another up. Paul says, when you come together and still building one another up, you're tearing one another down. And that is the purpose of the church, coming together to encourage one another, to build one another. He says, there's divisions among you. There was a real problem in the church of Corinth. The church was fragmenting. God hates division. Listen, Jesus said that a house divided cannot stand. Whether it's the home, whether it's a marriage, whether it's the church, it cannot stand. So Satan delights in bringing division and moving people apart and setting them in their own little sections instead. But Jesus says that the church is the body of Christ. It's together. Some are arms, some are legs. Some are those organs that are hidden, that are not seen. They had real problems, though. And every time they would come together to tear one another apart. And that grieves the Holy Spirit. However, Paul says one thing here. He says that there's also must be factions among you. Factions. And what that word is like political parties. And that word is really the minority in a political party. That's the meaning of it, per se. And he says there must be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. So what Paul is saying here is, there's this factions, there's this separation, but what that does, it brings forth those that are approved, those that are recognized, those that are walking in the faith, those that are godly in the church. When all this division, when there's things going on in the church, listen, there's always those that stand out, man, those that are like, Lord, please help. Lord, this is not what you want in your body. Chloe was one of those. We read that, right? She was the one who reported to Paul and said, this is what's going on. Paul, you need to do something about it. You need to come to the church. You need to address these things. Leadership is out of control. The church is out of control. But there's those. There's still those there that love the Lord, that walk with the Lord, that say, I'm gonna stay here. And Lord, I'm just going to pray. And whatever it is that you want to use me in, how can I be the glue here to bring people together? And that's what he's saying, that there's those that rise up in the middle of all this chaos, all this division, all these factions. And guys, that's you. Do you realize that? I know that many of you go to work. You may be the only one that is walking with the Lord, the only Christian there. And you stand out like a sore thumb. You go there and everything, you feel everything is against you. And there's this stress at work, this pressure at work to yield to this. Look, I know, man, the world is great at outreach. They're like, hey, let's go for a drink after work. Let's go do this. Let's go party. They're great at outreach. If we were half as good. but you guys stand out. And you guys know this. When serious things happen in life, who do they go to? They know there's a reality in your life that you love the Lord, that Jesus lives in you. They don't understand this whole thing. They're not born again. They don't understand what it is to be forgiven, to have the newness of life, that Christ living in you. But they know there's something different. They know that you have a connection with God. They don't know how it all works. And you stand out, and that's why you stand out, because you have Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. It may be in your home. You might be the only Christian in your home, and there might be chaos in your home. And you certainly stand out. And they're like, what happened to you? I remember when I came to know the Lord, man, it was like I got a disease. All my friends was just like, you know? They would come little by little, but it's like, man, you know, it's like, hey, I just got to tell you, man, it's good that you like going to church and all, but you're taking this way too serious. This is just, that's not good, man. That's not good, you know? And all of a sudden, lost all my friends. Well, they left, you know. If you want to lose godly friends, those that don't know Jesus, share Jesus with them. Share Jesus with them, and they're like, oh, you know. But at the same time, there are those that will come. And listen, you're planting seeds. You're planting seeds. Every time you share the word of God with those friends, you're planting seeds. And ultimately, they know what's going on. As time goes by, they see that, man, there's something real. God loves us. The hand of God is upon us. You're the church of God. You know that? It's not a building. You are the church of God. You are the saints. What a blessing. What an honor. It's so incredible. So, I don't know. I probably lost my place here. I just get excited about, you know. So good. God is so good. So you guys, just what's going on there in Corinth, they said there are those that are approved, those that are recognized, those that are godly in there. All this division and stuff are making those come forth. Verse 20 says, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Listen, you think you're going there to eat the Lord's Supper? You think that this celebration is honoring God? You think that this is a religious activity per se? That this is what you're doing? And Paul says, it is not. You're not eating the Lord's Supper. You may be there, but you're not eating the Lord's Supper because that is not what it means. You're doing everything contrary to what this means. This agape feast, these meals, it's supposed to bring people together. You're tearing it apart and tearing it apart. He says, you're not. Your love feasts are loveless. They're loveless. They go against everything that the Lord established, everything that he taught. And verse 21 says, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another is drunk. Listen, and then Paul says, what? He says, one is hungry and another is drunk. He says, what? Really? Now for us here, it's different. Culturally, think about this culturally. The Corinthians church, right? You had slaves, you had poor people, you had rich people, people from all different kinds, walks of life in the Corinthians church, mainly just rescued out of idolatry. But here they are. There were some that had nothing, and it's still the same thing, you know, but it's like some that had nothing, and they came to church, and that probably would be the only good meal of the week that they would have. But there were those that, I don't care, there's selfishness. It doesn't matter. I'm going to get mine and that's it. Let me just grab the whole plate. Let's take it over to my table. No. You know, and it's like, he says, you go before one another. You're not esteeming others above yourself. You're even getting drunk. Can you imagine that? Picture that with me. We're having a potluck here. We have the table set up like we do. And we have the tables there and all of this incredible food. But all of a sudden, just a group of people, this is mine. And then they go here and this is mine. There's no unity. There's just chaos. And all of a sudden, some guys are just wasted. Maybe gals too, I don't know. They're just wasted. They bring wine and they're just in church, they're just wasted. They're drunk. And then after they're drunk, they're like, hey, let's take communion. It's like, what? It's like, what? Paul is dumbfounded. And this is like the only place that we have like one word, one period for Paul. This is the only place. He's like, Lord, help them. And now he rebukes him with a series of questions. Paul is masterful at doing this. He asks the questions. And when we ask a question of individuals, right, I love it, because when we ask questions for people, it's like, hey, listen, what about this? It causes that person to think. And they have to admit where they're at, because they're answering their own question, really. You give them and it's like, hey, well, aren't you married? Well, yeah. Well, why are you doing that? You know, all questions. But it's like, oh. You come face to face with what's happening. So take a look at what he does. It's a rebuke, and he says, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. They were making a mockery out of the Lord's Supper. Paul says, if that's what you're going to do, why don't you just stay home? The Lord's Supper, the love feasts, were to celebrate Jesus and have the family of God coming together at the Lord's table and be united. That's what it was all about. Paul says, do you despise the church of God? Think about that question. If a person's so steep in sin and the things that they're doing, and then it's like, man, obviously you're going against and you're hurting the church, and somebody says to you, do you despise the church of God? You're like, whoa, what do you mean? What you're doing is you're hurting the church. By your actions, you're telling the world and us that you hate us, that you don't love us. And shame the brethren, those that don't have any, you're shaming them? Is that loving? Is that Christian? Is that what the Lord taught us? Is that what the Word of God teaches us? Those that have nothing? So the answer, of course, would be, you know, no. No, I don't hate the church of God. I don't want to shame those that have nothing. Paul's saying your love feasts are not loving at all. What should I say to you? What can I say? Shall I praise you in this? Should I say good job? He says, I do not praise you. I do not praise you in this, guys. Paul is so disappointed in them. But it didn't end there, guys. It didn't end there. After all this, like I said earlier, they would take communion. They would take communion. So Paul, what he does here is he takes them back to the Bible, what communion means, the whole significance of it. And he takes them back to the Lord's Supper in Luke 22. We're going to take a look at that in a minute here, because he wants them to remember. When we take communion, it says, remember, remember, remember what the Lord did at the cross. Remember that he died for us. Remember that he's coming back. And he wants them to remember and understand what they're doing. But one thing before we get there, I want to point out in verse 23, take a look at it carefully. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Notice that Paul says he received personal revelation from the Lord. Now we know that Paul was not the original 12 or the disciples before. We know. We read the book of Acts. We went through it. We studied it. In fact, Paul shows up chapter 8, chapter 9, and that's where there's that conversion, right? He's Saul, and then there's a conversion, and then he changes his name to Paul, the Greek version of that. And we know that the Lord showed himself, and he had this incredible encounter with the Lord in chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. And afterwards, the Lord also showed himself to Paul and revealed his word to Paul. Now remember that Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had an incredible knowledge of God's word. The Old Testament to him, which was the Bible at the time, that was it. He was like, man, he was head and shoulders above the rest of their contemporaries. I mean, this guy was being taught by Gamaliel, the teachers of the day. He was the prodigy coming up. He knew. He had all this information, but he had no relation. And all it was information and religion and things and do's and rituals and so forth, he had no understanding of the Word of God when God came into his life, his picture. When Jesus was before him and he repented and turned to the Lord, oh man, he started putting it together. The Lord revealed, Paul writes in chapter 4, he says that the gospel light that shines in the hearts of men. Think about that statement with me. That's what happened to him. The gospel light, Jesus, shone his incredible knowledge of the Word of God, of the gospel, into the heart of Paul because his heart was hardened. All he knew was a bunch of information. And now the Lord was ministering to him and says, no, this is what it means. This is what it means. This is what I mean. And walk with me. Paul, I'm going to use you. I know you're a murderer. I know that you hated Christians. And I know this is your thought, but you did it in ignorance. You didn't know me. I want to use you. So Paul had this incredible revelation of the Lord. And listen, everyone here that knows the Lord, I pray that we all do, had that encounter with Jesus. If you haven't, you can't. It's that easy. You just repent of your sin. You come to the Lord and say, Lord, I realize I need you. And I share my testimony often. At the side of a highway in the desert, I pulled my car over and said, Lord, I don't understand everything this man is saying, but I do understand this, that I'm not for you. It's clear that I'm not for you. And it's clear that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I no longer want to do that. Please forgive my sins. Make me a new man. If you can use this just twisted life, here it is. I will follow you. And you know what? There's an incredible transaction that took place that day. I was never the same. Jesus came and lived in my heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't understand what was going on, but everything changed. Everything changed. I was like, anyway, I get into that. I could just go on to that. You guys remember that, right? Isn't it so awesome to remember? This is what God did in my life. This is how I came to know the Lord. And we can go on and we can share a testimony because we're excited about what God did in our lives. In fact, I'll share this right now. I'll come back into the context in a second, but it's related to this. We had the honor to go over to an event for Teen and Adult Challenge. Oh man, I love to see these guys, the before and the after. In the lives that were before the drug, the this and everything, and then the after. The common denominator, Jesus. Jesus came into their life. And I love what that speaker said. He says, look, I tried psychology, psychiatry, I tried drugs, I tried this and so forth. Nothing worked. Jesus works. Jesus saves. Jesus changes. Jesus gives life. Only Jesus. So Paul, here, he says that the Lord was the one that revealed this to him. And just so we understand here, right, he had this encounter with the Lord. But turn with me, just indulge me in this, to Galatians chapter 1. A couple books to the right. And Paul here in Galatians gives us a little, he sort of summarizes his life in a few years. And shares a few things that sort of sheds light where we're at in Scripture here. Paul is telling the Corinthians, what I've given you, I received directly from the Lord. It's not from men. It's not this. It's from Jesus himself. I received it from him. So take a look at verse 11 here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached by me is not according to men. Listen, it wasn't. I didn't go to Peter at that time. I didn't go to, James. I didn't go to men. He says he had his own personal encounter with Jesus. And then he's going to give us a little bit of a summary of his life. He says, "For I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." He tried to destroy the church of God. This is who he was. "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confirm with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with them 15 days. He says, listen, this gospel message was a direct revelation of Jesus Christ. And after I received it, I went to Arabia. He went to the desert and hung out with Jesus. Man, he was growing in the Word of God. All these things, the Lord is bringing it together, give him revelation of what it all meant. And the Lord was going to use him mightily. We know this man writes a third of the New Testament, a murderer. A third of the New Testament. So he says, what I'm giving you, Corinthian church, it's not of me, it's not of men, it's directly of the Lord. But also notice, we need to notice that Paul, what he received, he gave out. This is what I received, this is what I'm giving out. Church, are we being faithful to deliver to others the Word of God which we have received? The gospel message is powerful. It saves, it changes lives, it transforms. Guys, someone shared the Word of God with you. Someone shared Jesus with you. We need to share with someone. There's so many out there that don't know the Lord. What God has given us, we're to give to others. And I understand that they're gifts. I understand that some are evangelists. That some have, I mean, some may get a little over-excited like myself. And, you know, some may, whatever it is. But the giving of God's Word, it is a blanket for every Christian. It is a blanket for every Christian. It covers everyone. Doesn't mean we stand up in the middle of the street and start preaching or we do that. It just means that you have something that the world needs desperately. God has saved you. A man or a woman, somebody shared the gospel with you. We need to tell someone. We need to tell someone. I've had in the past, and this is nothing in the congregation here, but throughout the years and people, and they say, listen, I've never led anybody to the Lord. I said, well, have you shared the gospel? Well, it's hard. Well, how are you going to lead somebody to the Lord if you don't share the gospel? It doesn't depend on you. It's God's Word. The power is in God's Word. The Spirit of God works in us. God partners with us. He says, open up your mouth and I will fill it. Let me read you some verses to encourage you, what God's Word says. If you're a note taker, Psalms 126, verses 5 through 6 says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come back again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And those that go weeping, they go in tears, they're going to come back joyful. They're going to say, this is the fruit of the Lord as you share, as you cast those seeds out into the world. Isaiah 55:10, if you're taking notes, says, for as the rain comes and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He uses an example. Then he says in verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. There's got to be an amen in there somewhere. Come on, guys. This is it. This is God's word. God's word will not return void. You may not see it, but it will not return void. It's powerful. It changed my life. I'm in awe day by day that I get to do this. It was never even a thought in my mind. I wanted nothing to do with God. It's just, when I came to know the Lord, I was like, why didn't somebody tell me about this? It didn't dawn on me that people were sharing the gospel. I just never said yes. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And one of my favorite verses here, a couple of verses, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, those who preach the gospel, beautiful feet. You don't need to go get a, what is that called, pedicure or any of those stuff. You got beautiful feet. I mean, I'm glad the Lord looks at it that way, because I don't want to wear sandals. John 20:21 says, you know, we just read, how will they hear without a preacher? And how if they're not sent, right? John 20:21 says, as the Father has sent me, Jesus says, I also send you. Does that hit your heart? I pray that just sits with you in your soul. That God sends you, sends me. Church, we have the privilege and the honor and the duty as Christians to deliver the gospel message that has been delivered to us. Somebody told you about Jesus. Tell someone about Jesus. Amen? Let's get back on track here. How are we on time? You know, we're going to leave it here. We're going to do a few more verses, but all these verses are going to take us another half an hour. And we'll pick up next week. But listen, if you're here today, we're talking about the Corinthians church, a church that was messed up, a church that so needed to get back on track. A church that had backslidden, going back to idols, going back to this, that we're doing that. Maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what? I feel like that. Like I backslid. Like I've gone so far away from the Lord, and I'm doing these things now that I shouldn't be doing. And I miss Jesus. And I miss Jesus. You know what's awesome? He misses you too. And the Bible says repent. Repentance is not a one-time thing. It's something that we do constantly because we're sinners. And Jesus says, all you got to do is go in this direction, man. You're doing about face, and I'm right here with open arms. Come to me, and I will receive you. I won't ask you where you've been. I won't tell you I told you so. Just come to me, and I'll wash you. I'll cleanse you. I'll forgive you. So if you're here today, and you're like, and I feel like I'm just walking away, Jesus invites you back. He's so gracious. He's so loving. Man, you don't know that relationship with them. Maybe there's some here that don't know the Lord. Maybe somebody's listening online. You never know. We may have one listener. And they don't know Jesus. Listen, don't put it off. Don't put it off. The greatest thing, the biggest decision in life is, what will you do with Jesus? Jesus causes the biggest problem in humanity because you have to come to terms with, what will you do with Jesus? If He is God, and if He died on the cross for your sins, and if He rose again, and if He offers you eternal life, if you would just repent and come to Him. And the alternative is, you're going to hell. The world, humanity, is going to hell apart from Jesus. And Jesus says, I died. I got in that road that you were heading. I laid my life, my body. The nails, they were for you. The crown of thorns, they were for you. That cat of nine tails that tore my back apart. And I did it for you. And the Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. Jesus says, you want to be healed? You want eternal life? Come to Me and drink. And you'll never thirst again. If you don't know the Lord, today could be the day. Don't put it off. You never know what happens tomorrow. Never know. Will you pray with me? As the worship team comes up, listen, if there's someone here that doesn't know the Lord, there's going to be someone on back, myself, others. If you want to just come, if you just need prayer, if you're just like, man, I've been backsliding, I need to come back, or I just feel I'm going this direction, need prayer, just come on over. We'll be happy to pray with you and for you. And if you don't know the Lord, hey, you'll never regret it. Today's the day. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. You're so good. Just love You. Lord, You're so gracious. And Lord, thank You that You've given us Your Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. How amazing is that? God resides in the body of believers, in this carcasses, in this flesh. The grace, the love, we cannot comprehend. And Lord, I just pray, pour out Your Spirit in this church, in this people, as they go out, Lord. May they go forth sowing, casting those seeds. And may they come back joyful, Lord, with sheaths saying, this is what Jesus did. We thank You, Lord. We thank You. Such a great love. Such a greater salvation. In Your name we pray, my Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine His face upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.